I'm wearing these like completely different headphones, and they're pretty good as far as the noise isolation goes. So I feel like I'm floating in outer space talking to you.
Great story.
Yeah, no, that's what it sounds like.
Oh, good. Hello and welcome to episode 367 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan, in tubing in Germany. With me, as always, is
Adam in Vancouver.
Captain Headphone in Vancouver.
Yeah.
We had a little hot headphone talk just at the top of the show before we even rolled in, and I want to hear all. I know our listeners want to hear about it.
Why?
I don't know.
They don't.
Self-esteem problems, evidently.
Yeah.
But so you brought the Bose headphones up, and now you're using those.
Yeah.
Are they actually noise canceling?
No, they're not.
Okay. Because I asked because I've heard good things that, you know, they're awesome, especially for flights, which can be
the actual. You're talking about the actual noise canceling one.
Correct.
Okay.
But it seems like a lot of effort. Like you have to have a battery and then turn them on, and you know, I don't know. Yeah. Do I need them? No.
I think if you've got a pretty good set of headphones that have a pretty good seal around your ear, like I'm talking the over the ear variety, I think you're probably sorted.
Yeah. All right. But you were saying that you sound, you're very isolated, you said.
Yeah. I can't hear anything outside of your voice.
See, I've ever since we have started this podcast, since day numero uno, I have the same headphones that I've always had. I only keep one ear on. I keep one ear into the real world. Even though nothing's going on, I can't do it. I can't physically commit to having both ears into the show.
Oh, well, maybe that's why your end of the podcast has been so rough.
What? What, Lorraine? What?
Oh, yeah. This is my inside voice.
That could be. No, see, I'm mixing the, I don't know what I'm doing. Who cares? Honestly, who cares? Why did I bring it up?
Don't ever bring it up.
Amazon. If you need headphones, get them on Amazon. Click to our site and help us out.
Sure.
Last week, I think it was last week, I told you I bought a book.
Okay.
I said, you know, there's a movie coming out, or it is out now, I guess, in America, called Molly's Game, and Aaron Sorkin, his directorial debut, and Aaron, he wrote it, and he's obviously one of the best screenwriters ever. And so I bought the book. I thought, hey, you know, how can you miss? I mean, yes, I got burned by Fincher wanting, you know, directing Gone Girl.
Yeah.
And so, all right, that's fine. It happened. So now Sorkin. So I bought Molly's Game. It is terrible.
Right.
It might be the worst book I've ever read in my life, including Gone Girl.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, if you're thinking of buying it, I'm going to sum it up for you. Rich guys like to play poker for lots of money.
Mm-hmm.
And Tobey Maguire's kind of a jerk.
In real life or just in the movie?
Well, in the book. I haven't seen the movie yet.
Oh, okay, in the book. But I'm guessing same. Well, you said Tobey Maguire, so.
Yeah, the actual, like, the person. He's not like he's a character in the book, but, like, in real life.
Okay.
I don't believe he's an actor in the movie.
Oh.
I believe Michael Cera.
He's a book character.
Yeah, he's in real life. In real life, he's a jerk.
Oh.
Yeah. Based on his shenanigans, even if they're half true, still a jerk. That's all I'm saying. But you don't need to spend too much time reading the book. I got to tell you. And so I went back and watched the trailer for the movie.
Wait. Is he a good poker player, Tobey Maguire?
Oh, yes, evidently.
Okay.
However, well, part of the deal is he sort of insisted that the big giant Hollywood game be stocked with fish.
Okay.
And so, you know, guys are just going to come in and just completely lose all their money every time.
Okay.
So, yeah, he's good, but it's like, yeah, we're going to go play mixed slow pitch softball, and I'm just going to go and dominate. You know, why would you do that? Like, why would you, like, you know, I'm just going to hit crazy comebackers at the girl who's pitching from 40 feet away.
But it is optional whether those other people choose to participate.
Oh, I have, yes. Yeah, well, same with the girls who are pitching in the slow pitch too, right? They do choose to play.
There is a distinction, I think.
Yeah. The only difference is instead of walking away with like $250,000, someone gets a broken nose. That's the big distinction. Okay. And anyways, point being is don't bother reading the book. But okay. See, I went back and watched the trailer, and it looks like the book is just a jumping off point, and a lot of the story comes afterwards, after the book ends, which I can see now how the movie would be very, very good, because I do trust Sorkin. I say Sorkin like I know him. I don't know him. You know?
Right.
Like, I would, if I, referring to you, like, if I was talking to one of our other buddies and be like, oh, yeah, Schwartz, I know you. That's fine.
Right.
I don't know Mr. Sorkin.
Okay.
All I'm saying is that I got burned by Gone Girl, burned by Molly's Game. So whatever Soderbergh's making next, I'm going to get burned on. I'm pretty sure.
Oh, speaking of books to read, this is, again, a little off topic for us, but that's not a surprise.
Not today, it's not.
Books reading right now, because I'm going to give the other side of the coin, a really good book that I'm into. It's called Refugee, which is by Alan Gratz. Uh-huh. I kind of choose books that are lying around my house that my wife has finished, and then mm-hmm. I kind of pick up the scraps.
So usually Playgirl.
Yeah, basically. But she, you know, she reads anything and everything and all kinds of stuff. And so I've been basically just kind of reading whatever she's finished. And this Refugee book is awesome. Basically following stories of different refugees, kind of children's perspective, and again, from different time periods. So it is awesome. So if anyone is looking for something interesting, action-packed, really, really good, really good book that I'm into. I can give other book lists if people are interested in non-related photography fiction, because I'm gobbling up the literature these days.
I'm trying to do the same, actually. But obviously, I'm making poor choices. You know, so
you should get my wife's reading list, because she's good at this.
I know she is, and she reads, I don't know, like something that's really fast. I couldn't think of an analogy there, but she reads a lot.
Yeah,
too much, in fact. Like at some point, I'm like, nah, you can't read that much. You know,
yeah, she reads about twice the speed that I do. So
yes.
Yeah. Takes her a couple of days to go through a book, and for me it's usually, you know, a week or two depending on how into it I am.
I used to read a lot more, but then I started the high fiber diet, so not so much.
Yeah, it's tough. Yeah,
yeah. All right. Reminder, monthly challenge reminder for January. It is straight out of camera, unedited,
right?
Yes, that's for in February. We'll talk about that.
Okay.
Meanwhile, what's going on, Adam? Besides the reading, what's going on in Vancouver?
I don't know. It's
nothing. Nothing goes on.
Yeah, it's
in
pretty
January.
Much normal. Yeah, it's just normal Vancouver. The rest of our country is, you know, freezing cold, and there's mm-hmm. snow and all that stuff. And Vancouver's just Vancouver. We've got it pretty good here. It rains and it's mild. That's Vancouver. So
do you think you're going to see some outdoor skating this year?
It doesn't look good. No,
nope, yeah, same here,
looks,
man.
Looks too mild. Yeah,
I don't like to complain. Well, that's not true. But I shouldn't complain, because I'm a mild winter kind of guy, even though I live in Germany where it should be cold, right?
Yeah.
And now my son, he just loves the snow. Cannot get enough. Can't wait. For his birthday, he got a new bobsled. Okay. Hasn't used it yet. Has not been able to use it because it,
we're not
now,
talking like the Olympics and like, you know,
yeah,
four
cool
people
runnings.
That have,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's John. Well, he's John Candy.
Okay.
No, but just like a little, like a, I don't know what you, what do you call, what do you call them? The little plastic
toboggan.
Things.
A toboggan.
I guess they don't really have
plastic,
that word here.
A disc.
You know, you know, he has a disc. That's something else. But you're right. It probably is a toboggan. But toboggan's something else. Toboggan's the wood thing with the big curled up front.
Okay.
I think.
This is just a sled then.
Well, he has a sled. He has a wooden sled with the metal runners on the bottom. But this is something else. It's like a plastic thing that you can steer and what? Excuse me. And so I don't know what you call it. It doesn't matter.
Okay.
Point is, he got a new one for Christmas, and it's been in the teens every day. And so, like, we go hiking, if we go walking, literally wearing a t-shirt in January. It's not right. It's kind of awesome. I like it. On the other hand, I would kind of like the snow. So there's that.
Okay.
That's what's going on here, and I understand it. And also the outdoor skating, because last year I took the kids on the pond outdoor skating one day. Kind of want to do it again. It's kind of the fun part about having your own skates, because nobody here has their own skates. They all rent them.
Right.
And so we could go out and I could rent them to people. We have so many pairs, we could rent them out even. Maybe make a little flash, you know?
Sure.
Yeah. So other than that, I mean, unless the Canucks are doing well, which I hear they aren't.
No.
Then Vancouver's, you know, meh in January.
Yeah. Just waiting for spring.
Yeah. No, I hear what you're saying, which is, I'd like to think it's around the corner.
Yeah. It feels like it should be, but yes, it's still a little ways off.
Yeah. There we are. Did you shoot anything interesting?
I shot hockey photos, if that's interesting.
Okay. What is interesting about it? Because you don't always shoot hockey photos. Like, you,
no,
you have lots of hockey.
We had a big tournament last weekend, so there's lots of games, and I thought...
It was a road tournament, right?
No, it was a local tournament. Oh. So it's kind of a tournament that our association hosts every year. And, here's another side note before I talk about my photos. I've talked in the past about they always set up, you know, kind of the green screen team photo that they bring in a company that does this.
Right.
And this year, I mean, before our first game, I was the scorekeeper and I was, again, walking around the back of the rink towards my little scorekeeper's box. And I saw the setup and I looked at the setup because I'd seen how they'd done it in the past. And the product has been very subpar considering the prices they charge for these prints. But anyway, so I walked by the setup. This is before any people were there yet ready to shoot, but they had set up the green screen and they had set up their lights. And right off the bat, I thought, wow, this is a big step up from previous years. They had three Alien B lights, you know, two lighting the background, one in a giant soft box, and it was all kind of just pushed off to the side and ready to go, and then another Alien B that was on a stand that would look like, okay, it was going to also be positioned. So essentially three that were already set up and a fourth that was going to be used somehow. And I said to Lisa, yeah, the green screen photos are going to be good this year, or at least much better. Like, they had the appropriate equipment. The green screen itself was pulled super taut so that it was very much the same green screen that I use. Mm-hmm. But it was set up in a way that was really going to minimize the wrinkles. And as it turned out, when I actually went to look at the product, it was very good. So far better than it has ever been in the past. So I don't know if they hired a new company
or
just got their act together because people aren't buying it or whatnot.
Or
they've seen competition.
One more or. I'm being that guy. I'm too many ors now.
Okay.
Or big fans of the show.
Yeah, maybe
you
that's
called
it.
Them out last year. Like, hey, I don't like you or your whole operation.
Yeah.
And they turned it around.
And
good
I
job,
don't,
buddy.
I don't know if anyone on our team actually purchased it, but yeah. If, because I decided I wasn't going to do this this project this year. It's too much time. Mm-hmm. Just wasn't into doing it. If anyone asked me whether or not it was worth it, I would have said, if this is the kind of thing you'd like, they've done a very good job with it.
Good for them. Remember the name of the company?
No, I don't. But no green halos or anything. It's just again, a well-done job.
Hey, I'm assuming they're listening again this year. Good job, guys.
Yeah, way to turn it around. Back to my photos. So from tinkering in the past, you know, the question is always been, for the equipment that I have, do I use an 85 mil lens because I can shoot, you know, wide open, it goes to 1.8, and then I'm going to crop, because sometimes they're quite a distance away. If the puck's in the corner at the far end of the rink, then, you know, those photos are almost going to be either non-usable, or you're going to have to make a big, big crop on those photos, or use the 70-200, which isn't as fast a lens, and then, you know, end up cranking the ISO and going that route. So I basically decided I was going to do 70-200 based on the last time earlier in the season, I did this one other time, and I kind of shot the 85 and did that for about two periods and switched over to the 70-200. And then I basically head-to-head, I preferred the 70-200 just because of how tight I could get. And that's really what the action that I was going for was. So,
and that's the 6D you're talking.
All on the 6D, which does amazing things with high ISO. So that
when you say high ISO, what's your ceiling?
This time I actually shot the bulk of it at 12,800
ISO. What?
Yeah, and because I need a shutter speed now. Like, the problem was, in the years past, I could get away with a shutter speed of like maybe 1/800th of a second, because the kids, their skating wasn't as fast, right? So the game moved slower, and therefore I could catch these moments where I could freeze it without a very high ISO. Without a very high shutter speed. But now the game's too fast, the skating's too good, and so I need fast shutter speeds. I need, you know, at least 1/1250th of a second or faster, and so therefore I got to really crank the ISO to get there with the F4. So using just an F4, that's all I used when I took these photos. But again, the noise is very reasonable. And
it's reasonable. It exists, though.
It exists, but I don't think anybody outside of, again, the photographers are going to look at a photo printed as a 4x6 or a 5x7, and it wouldn't ever be apparent to them.
Oh, not even that. Even for, like, I'm a photographer, I wouldn't care.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, I don't even think people would realize it.
Really?
They'd only realize how great it looks frozen, and how'd you do that? Because I can't do that. My pictures are blurry because it's too dark in here.
Mm-hmm.
So I was very happy. And then, again, with the Lightroom, a little bit of post-production noise cancellation.
A little bit.
Yeah, just a little bit. Just a little bit. It really, really it really makes them look good. So
yes.
did a bunch of that. Tried to get every kid. You know, obviously, like you said in the past with baseball, you kind of shoot where the action is. So some kids are in the action a lot more, so I end up with a whole bunch of good photos of certain kids, and then other kids that almost never show up because they're never near the puck. So, but I did even try to shoot some of those kids even on a line change when they're coming off, just even trying to make it look like they're in the play, right?
Sure. So, yeah. That's kind of the beauty of the stills, is you can sell it.
Yeah, so I'm really happy with that, and then again, just send off a bunch, because it's all in the rink with the same more or less lighting. You know, you can edit and just copy and paste, so it cuts down on the post-production. Really most of the post-production work was just figuring out where to crop, because sometimes you get stuff in the frame that's distracting, like whether it's just another player's skate or stick sticking out. So most of it's just crop work to kind of get it to where you think what's interesting in the photo.
And how did you white balance? Did you shoot a gray card in there?
I didn't shoot a gray card. I just basically... because again, it's all kind of that. I don't even know what kind of lighting that is. If it's
like some sodium something.
Yeah, it's a weird color. But again, from years in the past, I've kind of got a baseline. So I looked at other photos, and then you just try to get it what you think looks normal to your eye, and that's the best you're going to do. Now, one little side note. Mistake I made, and I'm sure you've made it, and probably everyone else there has made a similar mistake, is I shot all the photos, and I did it on the last game of the tournament. in the last game of the tournament, they decide at the very end they're going to hand out medals to the kids. Like, every kid gets a medal. That's the world we're living in now, right?
Sure.
So every kid gets a medal, and they're quickly hand them, the coaches, a box of medals and say, hand these out on the ice. And because I'm standing near the bench taking photos of the action, they're like, hey, can you grab a quick photo of the kids getting their medal? And so literally I step out on the ice, got the 70-200, and I slap a quick flash on top, and I just start zipping off photos as they're going across, right? Mm-hmm. I had no prep for this. I just basically was called in at the last second. I'm like, oh, all right. And they're like, we're going, we're doing this. So as he'd hand the medal, I'd snap the photo. Again, didn't even look at the LCD, just knew where the exposure I needed to be, and the end. I get off the ice and was like, okay, none of those are usable. What do you think happened?
Boy, what would make it not usable?
Exposure's fine.
You had it on what do you call it? AI focus.
Nope. That focus, remembered to switch that. 70-200 lens. That's the kicker. This wouldn't happen with the other lenses that we
have. Is there
a
shadow in it?
No shadow. Flash exposure's fine. It's a focusing problem with the 70-200.
Oh, you had it set to 3 meters out.
Exactly. Yeah.
I've done that.
And then, of course, these photos, like, there wasn't room to be back that far.
Right.
And in the hustle and bustle, just never even thought about it. Set it to 3 meters because of the action shots.
Yeah.
Didn't flip it to 1 meter. I'm standing probably 2 meters away. It looks through the viewfinder like it's in focus, except for they're all out of focus.
But they're all standing at 2.9 meters.
Yeah, whatever.
That's why it is. So it looks like it's in focus. Then you get home and you're like, wow, what?
It wasn't even home. As soon as I got off the ice, I just did a quick check. And I said to the coach, yep. The good news is those photos were horrible even in focus.
Yeah.
The bad news is they're all out of focus. So, everyone's going to have to take their own shot of their kid.
You don't need those pictures.
That's why I wasn't too upset. I was more upset about the fact that I basically, it's something like, it's one of those things. It's just, all right, I got called into action.
I know.
I should know better. But yeah, they didn't miss out on anything. And so nobody has contacted me saying, oh yeah, by the way, is there that photo of the kid on one knee with the medal around his neck? Yeah, nobody's missing that photo.
Okay, so here's how this should go next time, just for the people listening. Okay, you be the coach and I'll be you, okay? And you come and approach me to take pictures for that.
Hey, Al. We're gonna quickly give out medals. Can you grab a photo of each kid?
Why? Yeah. Why? Why would?
That's kind of, again, how I felt, but at the same time, I just was like, all right, people. And again, I don't know why, but people kind of like these.
It
was a terrible photo. There are terrible photos because, again, it's pretty much blam, flash right in the face, right?
Well, here's what you do. Here's the move. If you're that mom for next year, organize something where, like, they'll roll out the carpet. Like, when they do the puck drop at the Canucks game or the Sockeyes or something, they'll roll the carpet out, you know, so Miss Richmond doesn't do a face plant, right? Yeah. On the ceremonial face-off?
Yeah.
They could do that. They tell her, hey, you know what? You roll it out. All the parents, you guys come on out and snap your iPhone photos of your kid getting a medal for ninth.
Well, and again, I think here's what I would have done in retrospect. Again, the kids walk back to the dressing room and you're like, oh, that's what I should have done. All I should have done is like, hey, hand out all the medals to the kids all at once. Put them into a big group line on the ice like they do after the Olympics, and let's just get a fun team shot at the end. That's it. Like that.
Or,
that's a cool
photo.
Hey,
everybody. Hey, mom and dad. Why don't you go buy a camera, and here's a free podcast you can listen to, and then in 10 years, you can do this.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go in the back and have a coffee.
That's a good point. But I would have been happy with the team photo because I think that would have been fun. And again, just a goofy one where they all hold the medal up.
What place did they finish?
There is no the games are pre-orchestrated, so it's not like who beats who,
what?
Goes to this. Like it's basically more of a
nobody
here's
cares.
Here's four games. You're going to play teams that you never play before, but we're not like it's not a who beats who goes to the semis or anything. They're eight. It's just hey, let's play a bunch of games.
They're eight. Oh, they're eight. Are they?
Yeah. That's I'm okay with that part of it. It's the play four games, and then because they only have an X amount of ice times, and everyone wants to play games, right? So
of course they do.
Keeping score and all that is fine. I don't care that there isn't a quarters and a semis or any of that. I'm fine with just play your games and be happy. Yeah.
No medals then.
Exactly. No need for the medals. No. The medals is a waste of time.
Yeah. Waste of everybody's time and resources. Yeah. Except for the medal, I'm sure. I wonder if all this was the big trophy lobby kind of basically had us all ruin our kids. So like, we got to move some units here, man.
Yeah, true enough.
All right, photo challenge this month was blue and orange,
right?
Which, spoiler alert, I'm going to go ahead and preload this for the listener. Adam didn't really know.
I messed it up. I thought we were doing the spot, not the spot. What's the other one?
You thought the monthly one was this week.
Yes, I thought the monthly challenge was the current one. My mistake, mixed it up.
So at a last minute scramble, rather than just submit whatever you shot, you know, seconds before we hit record, you decided to shoot the crayons, which was very funny.
Have you done that?
Yeah, I have. Well, no, I haven't done it for a challenge. I've done it for one of the photo albums early on.
As I was taking it, I kind of thought, like, has this been done before? Like, maybe I've seen this before.
I don't think. But here's the funny thing: is you said, "Hey, oh, geez, like we're about to record," and you sent me a message and said, "Oh man, I got to go run and take this blue and orange." I was about to type back to you, "Get the crayons out."
Oh,
and,
really?
Yeah, and I was like, "Ah, forget it. He'll figure it out." And here we are.
Yeah, there you go.
All right. So what is you got the whole white thing out, or what did you do?
No, I just on top of a little plastic set of drawers that I have where I keep batteries and things. I just put the crayons on top of that, and then top lit it with the LED light.
How ridiculously handy is like those white drawers? I have a white sort of. Maybe it's the same thing. Maybe you still have it. I think we bought the same IKEA thing that your kids have with the drawer thing. Is it? I don't know how to describe it.
It's just stacked. There's like probably, I don't know. You can stack and stack. You can just keep adding them.
Is it 3-2-1? That's ours. It's 3-2-1. I think we bought it because you had one.
Oh, okay. Maybe. Yeah. Like three little flat drawers, and then they get a little bit bigger.
Yeah, I don't know. Who cares? Nobody Doesn't cares, matter. Actually, at this point.
Doesn't matter. But it's got a white top.
Yeah. Well, this one, the point is it's staggered. So you can stack three on the first row, and then it staggers down to two. So it's got like a little L shape, right? So it's like a square. Well, it's not square, but it's like an L, which I just said the first time. But that way it's got a base, it's got a bottom and a background. And so I've used it for product quote unquote shots before for the white background kind of thing. It's kind of handy.
Sure.
Yeah. And so and here we go. So I think that's probably as much time as we're going to spend on this, unless you have some other insight.
I don't have anything else. Blue and orange crayon. It's probably a little bit overexposed on the orange crayon, but
it looks it. Yeah.
It is what it is. Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Now, in terms of licensing rights for me to, like, we're going to sell this. There's no question we're going to sell. Andy Warhol could sell this.
Yeah.
Not now, because I think pretty sure he's dead, but.
This makes me want to color.
Oh, no. This makes me want to find a new co-host.
I strategically put the crayons, the lettering upside down.
Oh, hot. Flip the world. No. Do you know where Andy Warhol was from?
No.
If I gave you 10 guesses, I'll tell you it's America. If I gave you 10 guesses on the city, I don't think you'd get it.
Okay, just let's cut to the answer then.
Pittsburgh.
Oh, that was my first guess.
Yeah, I'm sure it was your first guess. Not Greenwich Village. That's not where you were to guess. No. Pittsburgh. And there's an Andy Warhol Museum in Pittsburgh.
Right.
All right, let's have a look at mine. Mine is the one of my daughter looking at the camera with the car lights in the background.
Okay, so car lights in the back. Oh, I see. Okay.
The headlights.
Here we go. All right. Blue lights.
Yeah.
Orange daughter.
Yeah. Really orange.
Super orange.
President orange.
Blue hat, though.
That was beside the point. I was going for lighting. That's all. Okay. No, I had to go pick her up, and it was just kind of that blue hour. So here's the background on this one. I had to go pick up my daughter, and I said, you know what, this is last night, and I said, you know what, I need to get a shot for our show. You know, Adam's gonna deliver, so why I better compete. and so I go to pick her up at, and so I said, all right. You know what? It's getting dark. Like, will I hit the blue hour? You know, I'm gonna bring the new camera because it's so portable, and you know, I don't want to talk about it anymore because I've oversold it the last couple of weeks.
Yeah,
but it is very, very portable, and so I'm gonna bring a flash with the full CTO on it, and gonna throw that in an umbrella.
Wow!
And I have an idea, and I'm gonna light her. And so I did. So you look at the other photo. This was going to be the challenge. The one that says lit, because I lit it.
Mm-hmm.
This was going to be the challenge. I was going to get that blue sky, that kind of blue ambient. Like you can see it on the logs in the lower, like the bottom left-hand side. You can see it on the top, that blue light just kicking it. So I'm going to mix this blue light with this gorgeous orange glow. And it just is going to be... Like, no matter what Adam does, this is gonna beat the heck out of it, right?
Right.
And so I'm shooting away, and it just sucks. Like the picture, you know, no offense to my daughter, I like her, she's fine. It wasn't her messing it up, it was me. But I had waited too late. Like, it wasn't like I waited, I had to pick her up at a certain time, and by then it was just too dark. And right. So I have, at this point, I have the flash on 1/64th, or the lowest possible power, into and through a full CTO, which is cutting some of the power, into an umbrella, which is cutting some of the power, and it is still too bright. Like, I just can't, there's not enough ambient light to mix it. Even though I can drag the shutter a little bit, but it's just not working. Like, even at 1/15th of a second, it's not dragging it enough.
Right.
So I could drag it more, and then I could stop down to like an F8, but everything that's going on in the background is really not interesting. So I need this to be at an F2 to make the background fall off. Otherwise, it's just you don't want that in focus. It's terrible.
Right.
So I can't. So I conceivably, I cannot, and we're on a bit of a hill, so I'm kind of limited like to where I can put the flash without it just tipping over. And so this was just a hot mess. A dog's breakfast, this shot.
Sure.
In my head, preconceiving it, oh, I was going to win the Emmy for this one. No question.
Okay, right.
And then I'm leaving, and I was like, all right, well, this will be, you know, good enough. Because if there's anything our listeners have come to expect, it's good enough, right?
Yeah.
And so... I'm leaving, and then I noticed the street light. I said, well, that is so orange. I'll bet you if I just balance it, and no, don't light this at all, put my flash away, I'll just use the street light. Because it's probably that similar sodium whatever that you have in the ice rink there.
Yeah.
And then I'll position her here, and then just as I'm about to shoot, the car comes up, and I was like, well, that'll be interesting because, you know... Why wouldn't it be? And so here we are. You know what the sad part is? The sad part is I still won.
Yeah, it's true. Yep.
1-0 starting now.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's exactly as you described it.
It's and the only the takeaway is I forget what the ISO was. Probably only 1600 actually. Which is wildly reasonable with this camera. Like I don't really shoot up around the 12,000 if I don't have to.
Right.
6400 I shoot routinely, and it's pretty great. And this might be 3200. Could be 16. Could be 32. Don't know. But when shrunk down to 800 pixels like this is, and with a little bit of the what do you call the what's the move we do with the...
The noise cancel.
The noise reduction.
Yeah.
Yeah, just a little hint of that and shrunk down. It looks fantastic. And what I really, really like about this is that it was very, very dark, but the camera had no trouble focusing. So
awesome.
Look at the rim light on her hair and the toque.
It's amazing.
Oh, it's like a Rembrandt. Yeah. So there you go. I'll phone the Rijksmuseum. They'll probably want it.
Okay.
All right. Moving on. Topic. We have a topic this week.
Okay.
You want to hear it?
Sure.
Spot metering.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we've talked about metering in general.
I think we have. There's an episode somewhere.
Well, that was probably like episode number 7.
Yeah, if anything. The first 20 for sure.
I mean, it would have been episode 6, but then like Don Kolarecki got in touch and wanted to talk about something. So, like, all right, and we'll push spot metering back a week. No, we didn't talk about spot metering necessarily. We talked about how metering works, metering in general, and we have not talked specifically about spot metering. So, quick review of different kinds of metering, and not even the different kinds. I don't want to go into great detail because there's a whole bunch of them. Center weighted and blah blah blah. I don't use that. Do you use center weighted?
No.
No. What do you use with your DSLRs?
Just like the matrix one, I think it's called.
Right.
It kind of just looks at everything.
It does, and that's probably the one that most people use. And I with the DSLRs, that is what I use for certain reasons, but. So the overall meeting, the evaluative or the matrix or whatever, it sounds awesome. Basically, it takes a look at your overall scene and gives its best guess and says, all right, this is what your exposure should do to try to get a little bit of everything. You know, we want to keep the blacks with the shadow detail. We want to keep the whites without blowing out. So here's our best guess. And you know what? It's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
It does a really good job. But what if you want a little bit more control? Let's go to spot metering.
Sure.
But first, there really are two kinds of metering when it comes to light metering. There's what's called incident metering, which is when you have the light meter out, which nobody does anymore. Although I do have one. But that's when you go out and you measure how much light is shining onto your subject. And in this case, your subject being your light meter. But you hold it wherever you want, and you can read how much light is physically coming in and hitting that.
Okay.
That's an incident meter. And then there's a reflective meter, and that's how much light is coming back. So, for example, if you have... I don't know how they measure light units. LUs, I'm guessing.
Sure.
So you have 127 lus coming in, and you measure that with the incident meter. Well, that's you got 127. It's 127 lu. That's why you never hire a DOP named Lu, because it gets really confusing really quickly.
Isn't it lumens?
You know what? It might be. So now that joke really falls flat.
Yeah, you're pretty close, because it's like a measure of luminescence. I think it's measured in lumens, and so they'll talk about it having X number of 100 or 1,000 lumens. I know they'll talk about that with TVs and like projectors and stuff, how many lumens that it... So there you go. That's where you got the lu from. Not as funny now.
No. Thank you for the yes and, by the way. That's just good improv.
Yeah.
Anyways, all right, so you got 127 lumens coming in, and that's it. It's 127. You know, act accordingly. However, when you have a reflective light meter, which that's what your camera has in it, it's measuring how many lumens are bouncing off your subject and coming back.
Right.
And thus, if it's coming off a white wedding dress, it's going to be a lot more than off the groom's black tuxedo.
Sure.
And that's how you measure it. And so... what we want to do is we want to use the spot meter to get a very, very, very accurate reading of what's bouncing back. That's it. And so the overall evaluative, the matrix, it does the same thing. It's measuring what's coming back. It just does a best guess.
right,
for the overall scene. But what we want to do is we're smarter than that. We want to control the vertical. We want to control the horizontal. So we decide where it takes a reading from.
Sure. Right?
So reflectively, yeah. So I took three quick shots to sort of illustrate how that works in the real world. So I took a shot of there's a white piece of paper, a gray card, and a black flag that I used for my flash, all lined up next to each other.
Okay.
So you can see the same photo, three in a row. Yeah, it's the same photo.
Yeah.
First one, I spot metered off the white card, the white piece of paper.
Okay.
And you can see it's pretty dark. It wants to make it gray, right?
Because that's middle of the road to the light meter.
That's all the light meter does. The light meter, all it does is say, all right, man, put this in the middle. And so that's when we use spot metering, that's what we're going to do. We're going to say, all right, use the meter, put this in the middle gray. Make this, whatever this is, make it middle gray. And so I shot these in AV mode, so I didn't have to change anything. All I did was I metered off the white. You can see the little yellow square indicates where I metered off of. I added that in post. That's not built into the camera.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, you can see the overall exposure. Second shot, I metered off the gray card. Now, that's probably the best exposure because it metered off middle gray. It put middle gray in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And thus the white and the black kind of fall in line. And then the last one, I metered off the black. So now it wants to bring that exposure up and everything's much brighter.
Gotcha.
Okay. So we're on board.
We're on board.
So that's what your meter does. Your meter makes everything gray. So why would you bother spot metering?
Good question. I guess if you're in terms of the image that you were making, your main concern was a certain part of the image or your subject in that image. If you wanted to make sure that was perfectly exposed, and everything else was less of a priority, then you would spot meter to get that right.
Yeah, that's generally it. Generally, when face or
skin tone or something like that, you could if we're talking about people pictures, then, and it's a portrait, for example, then obviously you want the face to be right, and everything else is mm-hmm. secondary, right?
But if you find yourself in a difficult lighting position where there's lots of bright lights or lots of shadows, that's when your camera kind of goes haywire. If everything's kind of soft lit, like a nice overcast day at the beach,
it's easier.
Yeah, the overall matrix is going to do a great job. But now you want to do something very specific, like you said, when it's bright sunlight coming in from one direction and the shadows, now you have to determine. Now, if you're shooting on manual mode, and you're using the overall what have you, the evaluative or the matrix, you can have a look at it and quickly decide, you know what, I want to go one stop under. I know this is going to be overexposed. It's telling me there's the middle. I'm going to quickly adjust and make it, you know, one stop underexposed, which will bring the specific areas right into the correct exposure.
Right.
What if it's too late? What if it's already gone and happened?
That's possible.
That's likely.
Sure.
You know, even more so if you're in AV mode. And so, and that's kind of what I've been shooting a lot of with the new camera. I've gone back to shooting AV mode and letting the camera handle it. So now if you're doing an overall exposure, now you have to dial in the plus or minus, you know, the, what do you call it? The exposure compensation.
Right.
Again, you've missed that moment. You're better off if you have changed it to spot. Now, what spot does is takes, rather than do the overall, like we said, very, 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 very small part of the picture is what it meters off of.
Sure.
Like, I heard people say it's like 1% instead of the whole thing. So now it allows you to basically decide. You can point it to wherever you want in your frame, in your composition, and say, that's what I want to be in the middle. and that's what you would snap.
Right.
Okay. Is that it?
I think so, isn't it?
I think so. I don't know. It probably isn't much more complicated than that.
Yeah. I mean, tinker around with it. I think that's the takeaway here is, I mean, I'm so used to the evaluative that I basically do this the second version of what you say. Like, I don't really use the spot meter.
Yes.
Not to say that it isn't useful, but you just kind of know the way your camera thinks, you know, between the histogram and sometimes one test shot, I know where it's going to go. So again, just based on the reps, I sort of figured out how to meter and do it quickly. And I don't feel like I miss many shots doing it that way, but I can definitely see the advantage to spot metering in the exact situations that you're talking about,
mm-hmm.
to get it right on the first shot instead of needing, you know, two or three.
For me, it was again the transition to the Fuji, where it changes how I shoot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with the DSLRs, like the 5D, etc., I feel the exact same way. I'm dialed in. I know what that camera's going to do. I know what that camera's going to tell me, the feedback I'm going to get, and I know how to compensate for it. And I pretty much shoot exclusively manual on the DSLR. But I just don't do that on the Fuji. And so now I find myself using spot metering a lot more often, or more, at least recently. For the beginning, I kind of trusted it and said, all right, you do it. I'm going to shoot raw, and so worst case, I can save it. But I want to kind of focus on getting it right, you know? And so I'm shooting a lot more of that. One of the things, though, too, like if you are going to shoot spot meter, now I recommend this no matter what metering you're shooting in, Adam and I think both recommend that you shoot back button focus.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Absolute game changer, no matter what mode you're shooting in. You'll probably get away with it in manual a little bit more than if you're shooting AV, but either way, go back and listen to our episode on it or Google it. I don't care. Shoot back button focus, and that's going to make spot metering even more useful to you.
Mm-hmm.
For example, the one time where I always use spot metering, no matter what camera I'm doing, no matter what's going on, it's how I shoot in the snow, the aforementioned snow that we don't get anymore. Is that's how I shoot. But I what I do is I basically, you know, meter for the snow, know full well that it's going to put the snow at middle gray, and then purposely overexpose two stops, because that will then put the white right at the right spot.
Right.
Okay? And so that's how you can do it. If you're in manual mode, you can do that wherever you want. As long as you know, you can meter off gray or black if you want. As long as you know that's going to be two to three stops under. As long as you place that in that zone, you're going to be fine.
Right.
Yep. Okay. I will shoot far more spot mode in 2018. That's what I'm telling you.
Okay.
Starting next week, because the challenge next week is spot metering.
Yay.
Woohoo! All right, and also the monthly challenge for January, just a reminder, is Out of Camera Unedited. You can resize it, and that's will allow a little bit of sharpening on the resize, although I'm not going to. I'm just going to resize and submit.
Me either.
Yeah, more so lazy than anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, websites. Adam, where can people go to find your stuff?
AdamSchwartz.ca, and I'll have a full crayon collage up there for for the listeners. It's a little Easter egg for those at mm-hmm. home.
Yeah.
No, I'm not.
So. This week we're sponsored by Crayola. So also no, we're not. You can find my stuff at AlanAtridge.com or the two of us at TwoHosers.com, where you can go to find all the links, photos, and everything we just talked about. And that's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.